Good morning. Welcome to class. Welcome to another day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's turn this music down or turn it off here and pray. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you that we can come to class and we can keep on moving no matter what happens in the past. We don't look to the past. We don't really look to the future either. We look to today, for today is the day of salvation. So we want to be in salvation. We want to be in Christ. We want to be in you, Lord Jesus, every moment of every day. And today is no special, no exception. We want to be in today, in you, Lord, doing what you want us to do, not what we want to do, not our agenda, but your agenda, not our will be done, but thy will be done, as you so amazingly said there in that garden that one night. So I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We give you all the glory, Father, for what you're about to happen here. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us the word of truth. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to comfort us, to teach us, to bring back to our remembrance all the things that the Lord has already taught us. We love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. So I apologize for yesterday. First time, I don't know if there's been a time that I've missed a job. I mean, 40 years of trucking, I spent most of yesterday thinking about, did I ever miss another day? Did I not show up for work because I couldn't show up for work? I mean, I'm not talking about scheduled time off and things like that, but literally just sleeping through the school hour, you know, the 7 to 8. I went to bed at 8:30 and talked to a friend of mine for a little while. And the next time I knew, it was about 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:45. Yeah, something like that, 7:45 in the morning. And what woke me up was Brother Brent knocking on the door, my front door. And I had just woken up probably 60 seconds earlier. That wasn't 1 minute. And I was in bed, looked at my clock, and I just couldn't believe it that it was so late. Didn't even hear the alarm clock, didn't nothing. I mean, I was totally, my body would not wake up. And I think it's because of the immense pain that it's been fighting in the back. I ripped out the bottom part of my back in Fort Collins on Monday morning last week. So this is like day 8, 9, something like that. 9 o'clock Monday morning up in Fort Collins. And I sat there when I woke up yesterday morning thinking, wow, no one's texted me. No one's checked on me. Lord, if I were to die last night, nobody even would know that I was dead. I was really just taken back. And I said, Lord, I need your, and the moment I said, I need, the Lord says, I heard the Lord say, don't say that. I felt checked in my spirit when I said, because I was going to say, Lord, I need you, need to be healed. And I immediately stopped because my spirit was checked. And I said, Lord, I thank you for what you have already done. We want to live in thanksgiving, not in I want. You want to live in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that you've already bestowed upon us. By faith, we can receive our healing. By faith. Just because it doesn't happen in 30 seconds doesn't mean there's not healing taking place. As I speak, my back is being healed. It just, you know, have patience. You know, we know in Scripture that even Jesus had to do it twice, had to heal the man twice. His first time he prayed for him didn't work. That was the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who spoke everything into existence. He is the Word, gave us an example. And that was when the clay was put on the man's eyes and put the clay off and said, can you see? Well, sort of, you know, it looks like everybody looks like trees to me. And then he prayed for him one more time. Now, how do you look? How's it? Okay, I can see everything just fine now. That's what I'm talking about. Everything we need is in the Word of God. We don't need to go to man for our answers. We had, so in the last few days, I had, you know, I'm going to say this to you because this is an example. People rebuke you. People, when you go out and stand out and serve Christ out in the open, in the public arena, out where the sinners are, not in a church building, that's good too. You can do that. But when you go out in the public arena and you begin sharing Christ, you're going to be rebuked, not just by sinners, but by believers, because most believers really, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of something, you'll see that the vast majority of the body of Christ truly doesn't know what's going on in the Word of God, the Bible, and in the kingdom of God. They're saved, they're born again, but the vast majority are all babes in Christ. They're just babies feeding on milk their whole life. And that's, I guess, okay. But there's some of us who got rid of the milk a long time ago. We fed on the milk like we're supposed to, but then we matured and we began feeding on the meat. And what happens is when you go on to the meat of the Word of God, at that time, you're kind of like a teenager, sort of like in the Word of God, in Christ, kind of like a teenager. And teenagers, you know, a lot of hormones are going crazy and they become somewhat rebellious sometimes and things aren't working out and they don't understand a lot of the newness that they see in life and they think they know it all, you know. And that's what I caution, because the last few days, I've got some stern rebukes from people, believers, and I just had to be nice to them because it doesn't matter how long they've been in Christ. Oftentimes, people stop maturing in Christ at some point. I don't know, but that's not me. I refuse to stop growing in Christ. I refuse to get out of Christ. And I refuse to stop growing in Christ. We can grow our faith. Yeah. And so that's one of the values and the benefits of this True Study class, is we can grow our faith, because that's what we talk about. Faith comes by hearing the truth, not a lie. Hearing the pure Word of God, not corruption. And I mentioned something yesterday when I was with Brent, and what came out of my mouth was wholeness, that in the past of building Gospel Evangelist Church, trying to, because I've been working on this church since 1987. I'm not a quitter. You do something for this long a time, God says, man, that guy just won't give up. He just keeps on going, man. No matter what Satan throws at him, he just keeps on trucking, man. That's me. That's not everybody. And that might be you, but let me tell you, you're going to have struggle. Anyways, what I mentioned to him was, it just came out of me, and that is, Brent, you make me whole, and wholeness is why the church is being built, because in times past, in the beginning, my wife and I were going to build the church, but she refused, and she backed off, and eventually the Lord, I don't know, something happened, not the Lord, but something happened. Anyways, so several of the times I've come to Boulder, I've been by myself, okay, by myself. And so when you're single by yourself, you're not complete. Now, we're whole in Christ, but building a church is not just spiritual. It's also physical. Building your ministry is not just spiritual. It's also physical. So spiritually, we're whole in Christ, but physically, many of us are incomplete. We're lacking things physically, and that's why the Bible talks about an elder in the church is the husband of one wife. The wife and the husband, they join together, they become one flesh. The wife completes the husband. The husband completes the wife. Adam in the garden says he recognized that he was incomplete. He wasn't whole. even though he was made in the image of God. Oh, sorry, just a moment. I put a lot of pain medication on my back, pain cream, just so I can do this class. I get excited about preaching the word, talking about the word of God. Anyways, Adam saw, Adam in the garden saw that he was incomplete and he needed something because everyone had a mate. He was the only one who had no mate, no completion. And so that's when God put him in a deep sleep and created Adam, created Eve out of the rib of his, of Adam. We know the story. Well, we need the same thing today. And I always thought till yesterday that a man needs his woman, a husband needs his wife. But in today's world, half of all Christians end up in divorce. Half of all ministers end up in divorce. Half of it, just the corruption in the world that we're living in. And so when one of us is without our mate, what happens? We're incomplete. We're not whole. And therefore, our ministries are like shortchanged. We need more. And that's why I loved why Jesus says, I've come to give you life, but life more abundantly. And I was praying to the Lord, because this is my seventh attempt to build Gospel Evangelist Church here in Boulder, Colorado. Seventh attempt. I'm not a quitter, as I said before. And So this month, May, is very important why I'm talking about this, because May 3rd is when I came to Boulder for the seventh time, May 3rd. Then May 29th, or Memorial Day weekend, was when I began building Gospel Evangelist Church. So that'll be our five-year anniversary, because it took me a year, and it was a lot of things happened in the first 2 years of Boulder. I was asking the Lord, why? Is Gospel Evangelist Church established and growing? Why? And the answer was, because you're whole. And I asked, why am I whole? Because I brought you a gift. And the moment he said gift, I saw the face of my brother, Brent. Yeah. Brent has made, now, I thought you needed, I mean, that to me sounds weird. But when you're lacking, God's going to use someone in your life. So a lot of women have sisters in their life. You know, women that are been divorced and they want to serve the Lord. Oh, my goodness. They want to serve the Lord and they're incomplete. A lot of sisters recognize that. Most of us men don't recognize that. But a sister in the Lord recognizes their incompleteness and they bring another sister with them. Yeah, where's that in the Bible? When Jesus said he sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out individually. He sent them out two by two, right? Right. We know the scriptures. Everything I say must be in the Word of God, must be in the Word of God. If you say something to me and it's not in the Word of God, then you can't say that to me. You need to find it. Where is that in the Bible? Back everything you say in the Word of God. Okay. And am I coming in okay? I think I'm coming in okay. And so there's a lot of sisters who have other sisters who have come alongside. And together, the two sisters in Christ make a whole. How that works is a mystery to me. But you can see it when Sister Rebecca and Sister Heather came to Boulder. They were one. They were whole in their completeness physically. Each of them were whole in Christ. But when they came together as a team serving Christ in the ministry, in the physical world, talking to people, they were whole, complete. And everything they did just worked. It was spectacular to watch them work for those 4, 5, 6 days, however long they were here. It was a miracle. Just watching them work was like watching God work. Wow. It was like watching God work right in front of me. And I didn't get it. because I kept asking, they've been gone for several weeks, a month or so, and I still couldn't understand what I was looking at until yesterday. I was watching people in their wholeness. In their wholeness. What does Satan want to do? He wants to steal that wholeness. Now you're not whole anymore. He wants to kill that part of that wholeness. So there's an incompleteness. There's not a wholeness there. And eventually, he can take you out. He can take you out first by your depression, by your just your, like, from my back. He's taking me off the street temporarily. But God's going to redeem the time, and God's going to increase the work. Because I'm not in the world. I'm in Christ. Now, I might be healing right now, but when I go back out to the street, my banner, and start preaching again on the street, there's going to be an increase because Jesus is the Lord of the increase. You see, that's why you have to think about your life as a minister. Am I whole physically? I know that I'm whole in Christ, but that could be why your ministry is stagnant, why your ministry is not growing. And a lot of ministers who are out there, they don't see the stagnation. But if you look around, you're not single. You're not by yourself. You're with another brother. There's two brothers out there preaching. There's two sisters out there ministering. They may not know why things are working out, but when individual street preachers go out there by themselves, there can be a greater work when there's another by them. Yeah, because they're whole now. One fills in the parts that are missing. And to think that I don't need anybody, think I don't need anybody, I'm independent, I serve Christ, that's all I need is Christ, you're missing it. That's called the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the pride of lust of the flesh, pride of life, something like that. There's pride there, whatever those three things are. And you wanna check that. You wanna stop that. And so I'm hoping you heard that you cannot be by yourself. Even though sometimes you see me out by myself on the street, there are people that are filling in the parts that I'm missing. Okay? I hope that makes sense. Anyways, I'm going to stop right there. So let's pray real quick again. So Lord, I thank you that you've showed us how we need to be whole, not just in you, but whole here while we occupy till you come and get us. We thank you, Lord, that you'll show us and teach us more about wholeness spiritually and wholeness physically. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Sorry. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hope everybody's doing okay. Let me open this up like that. And let me change out a couple of banners. There's some people there. Hey, Tara Rose. God bless you, man. We've been praying for you, sister. I can't tell you how much we've been praying for you, but you're here. Prayers work. Hey, I got another testimony. We've been praying for Boulder High School Wednesday. I didn't go over there because I couldn't go, but Brent's been praying over Boulder High School for about 3 years, approximately. I've been there for about 6 or 7, 8 months, something like that. And, we've been praying against suicide. I just found out this morning that I thought Brent said that every year they've had suicide at Boulder High School, and we've been binding the devils. And this year is the first year that Boulder High School has not had suicide. And we almost broke down and cried at the front door this morning. It was amazing. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And people say, well, my prayer didn't work. Brent's been praying for 3 years. I never heard him say, well, my prayer's not working, John. What am I doing wrong? That never happens. We're praying for Tara. Tara's here. Our prayers work. You just have to stay after it over and over and over. It just stay in prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And you just stay vigilant in your prayer life. Prayers work. They work. But you pray according to the word of truth. When you pray your own ditty, you make up some kind of little prayer that has no basis in the word of God, it will not work. Sorry, it will not work. When you begin to pray, you search the scriptures and you build your prayer in the word of God. So when you're praying, the devil can't say, oh, that's not going to work. And you can't get doubt. Because when you're praying with the word of God, then there's no room for doubt. And then you can say to that mountain, be thrown into yonder place, be thrown out, get away. Move, be out of here. You can rebuke the devil because there's no doubt. And you will not hear Jesus say, oh, faithless and perverse generation. You won't hear that. You're going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, full of faith. You get full of faith by praying according to the word of God. You want to be in one accord with the word. Now we know that's a fact because Satan has corrupted the word of God, and people stand on corrupt word, and they're wondering why their prayer is not working, because God will not honor corruption. God's going to destroy corruption in the lake of fire. So you got to be in the King James Bible. Sorry about that. I know people just hate that with a passion. I hate the King James Bible is what people tell me. What they're really saying is I hate the word of God. That's what they're saying. But they're not talking about this because Jesus Christ is the word of God, Revelation 19:13. And when you point it out to them, they reject you and they spit in your face. That's why their prayers aren't working. And so your prayers, you just start praying according to the word of God, and you don't stop. It's just the way it is. You don't stop. I don't care if you got to pray that same prayer for the rest of your life. Now, understand, when you pray according to the word of God, the next type of prayer, when you're praying a certain thing, is a prayer of thanksgiving. There in Philippians 4, you know, it's prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. So you don't say the prayer all over and over, over and over. That becomes a repetitional type prayer. And really, that sows doubt because you don't think God is really hearing you. And you don't really think God's going to really answer your prayer. So once you find your basis, your foundation in the word, you begin praying. Now you begin thanking God. You thank God. Thank God. You speak to that mountain, that problem, that mountain, to be thrown into the valley over there, the deepest ocean, or whatever, however you want to speak it. And then you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I must say, thank you, Lord, hundreds of times. That's my prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Horasa. Thank you, Jesus. Because I got prayers all over the place. And I just keep saying thank you. And that's what happened yesterday morning. I don't need to be pray. I don't need to be healed. What I need to say is thank you for healing me. God checked me right away. And the moment I said, yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for healing me, Lord. The moment I said that, I heard the knock on the door. And the reason I heard the knock on the door is from another brother that's here with us. Right there, Riley. Because of Brother Riley, that gift of a man who God placed in my life, he saw and heard and understood that something wasn't right. And he texts Brent, says, check on John. Something's not right. Something doesn't look right. Yeah, because John doesn't miss the classes. What's going on? And Brent just happened to be at Boulder High School. Or no, he was over at Crestview, another school he prays for on Tuesdays. And he was here in 2 or 3 minutes. He was at my door. You see? We're one body. And when one part of the body hurts. We all come together and we pray for that one that's hurting. And then that one, and we all together keep saying, thank you, Lord, for healing. And that healing happens and we're healed. We're whole. And then another part may get hurt. So we all go over there and we surround that hurt and we pray. Where's that in the Bible? The scripture that comes to my mind is when Peter was thrown into the prison and they're all in their house praying day and night, all night long in supplication and prayer. Then the angels of God came and got Peter out of prison, and Peter was knocking on the door, and the damsel came and said, who's there? And Peter said, hey, it's me. Let me in. And she didn't open the door. She was so excited. She didn't believe God could answer the prayer. They went in there and said, that has to be Peter's ghost, Peter's spirit. Peter's in prison. They didn't even believe their prayer. They didn't believe that God could answer their prayer. But God did. Why did God answer the prayer? You think, well, that was unbelief. God has grace. 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 Grace fills in all the pieces that we're missing in the spirit. Grace. Grace fills in that part that I don't understand yet, and that part that I'm learning but don't have it all yet. Grace fills that in. And by faith, we receive the grace of Christ, and we can move out in our ministry. But as we move out, we grow, and God takes the grace and puts wisdom there and understanding there and knowledge there. And now we grow and mature in Christ as mighty soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing victory, having victory, battling the spiritual warfare that we battle with, because the victory is in Christ. And so that, Brother Riley, and it just works out, right? So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyways, I just want to say that. Oh, and here's another brother here, Stephen Kemp. Stephen also texted me later in the day. One of my first thoughts when I woke up in the morning is, I don't know if it's because I pray, even when I'm in pain, I pray in the morning. A lot of times I'll lift people up even before it's dark and my eyes are open. And I was lifting up Stephen Kemp. And I said, I hope, because I know he's just new to come into our class and kind of newer in our ministry, new to Christ. And I would say, oh, I hope this doesn't hurt Stephen. I hope this doesn't bother. I hope this doesn't hurt Stephen. I was concerned for his soul because of my inability to carry through and do the class yesterday. Where did that come from? It comes from love. You love people. And if you love people, you're concerned for their well-being. Even if you don't know them. I was concerned for Tara. I was concerned for her sister, what her sister was thinking. I was praying over her. You know, don't be concerned about my tears. I'm just a tearful man, okay? I'm not trying to make anybody emotional. That's just me, okay? Oh, John's trying to get emotional, so we get emotional. No, forget that, man. I know there's a lot of fake preachers who fake cries and fake tears, but I'm not that way. It's just the way I'm built. Just the way I'm built. My mother used to hate that. I've been doing this since I was a little kid. I've always been crying. All right? So here's another brother here. Praise God. Another brother here prayed for my sister. I don't know, brother or sister. Trust Jesus. They prayed. They prayed for my healing when they found out I was having trouble. They prayed for me. Isn't that amazing? That's why we have to, you know, make what we're going through known to people. And that's one of my greatest challenges. I don't tell anybody what's going on. I just want to build people up. I don't want to say, oh, I need this. I don't need anything but Christ. But the Lord's trying to work with me in not being this island and trying to join other islands together, you know. And I'm struggling with that. I struggle with trying to be just an island, independent. I don't need anybody. I just need you, God, in my life, and I can do just fine. I mean, when you're 71 years old, you're not going to say that. You're going to need people in your life. Even when you're 20 years old, you're going to need people in your life. All right? anyway, so this is just a massive, what is it, 30 minutes of exhortation. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's called following after charity, remembering something about spiritual gifts, but rather that you would prophesy, it's with an S. And so and in prophesying, you is to edify, to build up an edifice. It is to comfort and to edify, to exhort the word, to speak the word of God, to let the word of God come into people, and to comfort them with the Spirit of God. So that's 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Okay. That's what we've been doing right now. We've been living in that verse right there. All right. So I need to change a couple things out. I want to put "Are you saved" up on the screen there. It's going across the bottom. I'm going to put also, I'm going to put Jesus back up there. Praise God. I've always wanted to declare Jesus Christ is Lord. A lot of people don't want to do that anymore. All right. So I've already done my truth study for the day. I've been up since 4:30. I did get up early. And I was able to make a cup of coffee and just sit over by my desk. I can't sit at the counter. I tried that a couple of days ago. It just hurts too much to sit at my kitchen counter. So I was sitting at my desk and I filled this in. And I was so utterly blessed filling in the truth study. And I wrote up a bunch of notes for the class today. I tell you, studying the Word of God with this truth study book, to me, it completes me. This truth study book that I've been doing since after the trade towers, the morning after the trade towers came down in New York City, the Lord said, "I want you to begin writing your prayers out." And I took my legal pad and my Bible, my coffee, my pen, and I just started. I started with "Jesus, I love you. Good morning, Lord," at the top of my legal pad, way back in 20 years ago, or however long it's been. And then the Lord had me, I had lots of different iterations of this, and now we've built this for the public. It's always been private. I've never shared this before. I've never told people about my morning prayer time until just a few years, two years ago, or whatever it's been. Sorry, back just. All right. So I highly encourage you to get the True Study book. You can go to thebookpatch.com, thebookpatch.com. And when you get there, up in the top right corner is search. And you just click on search. Then you can type in there GEC True Study, this right here. You can just type in GEC Truth Study. And up will come all 8 books. This, we're in book number 3 right now. We'll be in book 4 here just a few more weeks. And so if you're going to buy the book, don't buy book 3, buy book 4. So we're all in the same book. That's kind of how I've been telling people. And to purchase the book. And then, but you can still be in the class. And and there's lots of instructions in the first part here. Lots of instructions in the beginning here on how to fill this in, all these instructions here. And what I tell people is fill it in the way the Holy Spirit shows you. Don't follow some man's agenda. We're not following God. I mean, we're not following man. We're following God. See, that's a misspeak. You don't get mad at me for misspeaking. That's just life. We misspeak sometimes. I got to readjust myself. All right. And so, and I wanted to highlight a couple things here. So here is Philippians 4. This is what I read. This is what I heard in our app. This is what I prayed in the Spirit. That's why I asked the Holy Spirit to walk in today, Philippians 4. But when I wrote, I come down here where it says, right, today's verse, right. And you'll see that in the directions. I've been given this instruction here right next to it. Says, or one verse from the scriptures just prayed. It's best to actually do this front here, GEC Sunday Prayer Letter. When you go to the Sunday Prayer Letter, you'll see that there's, for example, my street preaching Bible is right here. In the back of my Bible, I have the notes for this week's preaching. even though I'm not on the street because I can't even get out the door. So like today is Wednesday. So here are the verses for today, Leviticus 22, 22 and Matthew 3, 10. And that's what I wrote right here. So in the Sunday prayer letter. So the verses that really should go here, if you plan on preaching and you, or you plan on staying in our class, in our ministry, what we're doing in one accord, it's best actually to do the Sunday prayer letter verses here. It really, it's something special about that, because these verses up here in Philippians, that you're going to kind of go through all the Bible. You're going to read it. You're going to hear it. You're going to pray it. You're going to ask the Holy Spirit to keep and walk in it, you know. But down here is a little different, okay? So I picked Matthew 3:10. I like that one. And that's what I wrote here. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 3:10. As you can see, I was only able to write it twice today. That's okay. Even though I asked to write seven times, I have seven lines there. I wrote really big because just what I was doing. And so as I was writing this and praying through this, the Holy Spirit was showing me things in the scriptures. And that's what will happen when you're focused on. Sorry, all this crying. I should bring my handkerchief when I come to class. When you're focused and you're dedicated and you've isolated a set time to be with the Lord and the Word, the Holy Ghost will show you and teach you the Word of truth. And that's what he was doing when I was doing this. He showed me a couple of things. I'll kind of highlight that to you. The root. He said, what is the root he's talking about? Because a tree doesn't have one root, because it's not plural. It's R-O-O-T, no plural. Root. The root. And the Lord was showing me is the tap root, the single root that grows out of the bottom of the tree that goes, sends all the way down. That tap root, not all the other roots that come off, but it's the tap root. It's kind of like the tap root of a weed. You can't just cut the weed off. You got to pull the tap root of the weed out, right? Not just the roots around it, but the tap root. And it says of the trees, but here you'll see it's plural, trees. So trees, the Lord uses trees sometimes to as a symbol to indicate us. We're like trees in the Bible. And we have a root. Our root is our spirit. Our spirit is our root. And that's what Satan attacks. So it says here, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. All right. Therefore, I mean, there's no, listen. Therefore, every tree, every person, see, now it's singular, every individual. So now it's not just trees, it's individual. Okay. Every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit, bringeth not, N-O-T, forth good fruit. What is good fruit? First good fruit is your salvation. Your name is in the book of life. That's the good fruit. God is the good God. And that's, you need to have that good fruit of salvation, that inheritance of Christ within you. All right. But then after that, what does the fruit do? Inside of good fruit is seed. And so you sow that seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God that you sow into other trees, right? Or to grow other trees, something like that. And it was good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. See that? So if there's not salvation, so there's kind of two parts to this scripture here. One part, and that also goes back to Mark 16, 15 through 20. One part says, if you believe, you're saved. You're going to heaven. If you do not believe, you're condemned already. You don't believe, you're cast into the lake of fire. You die in your unbelief. You die in your sin. You die without Christ. You're hewn down and cast into the fire. Okay? So us believers, we have good fruit, but it doesn't stop there. Because once you have the good fruit, inside of fruit is the seed that's after its own kind. So that's why I talked about on Monday. the tree of righteousness, we're like the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life. So fruit, that's fruit right here. The tree of righteousness bears good fruit. We're a good tree. We have good fruit and we bear righteousness in Christ. And that fruit has seed in it that we sow, right? That's what we do as preachers and ministers. We sow, okay? I'm going to change out that banner here. Where am I at? Oh, there it is. No, sorry. Hang on, everybody. I'm trying to change that banner out. Yeah, there. Give Jesus a call. All right. And so cast into the fire. So that's why after you're saved, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Satan will say, oh, you don't need to do anything. Just read your Bible. Sit in your house. Don't tell anybody about Christ. That's Satan telling you that. And if you've been, I'm not talking about when you're brand new. You know, when you're brand new, yeah, obviously you're going to feed on the Word of God. You're going to grow. But there's some point, it could be 2 months. For me, it was 2 weeks. That's how long God gave me to grow up. 2 weeks later, God called me in the ministry. And right away, within the day or two, I was pushed into the ministry. And I had to start preaching right away. And I had a Bible study on board our ship, USS Regal, because I was Vietnam vet, Navy, and ministered there a Bible study. So God gave me 2 weeks and I started preaching. So, and I haven't stopped. I've had low times, high times. I know all that. All right. So think about this verse. So that's what was taught to me. That's one of the values and benefits of the True Study book. It's really unique. Very, very unique. Very, very, very unique. All right. So that's this part here, writing part. Okay. And then I went back up and, you know, I did my prayer. And also, I wanted to, how much time do I got? I also wanted to highlight here the vision. You want to write your vision out. And in your vision or calling, you want to make sure and talk to God about this, that you're talking about lost souls. You want to have your, and that goes back to Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Ghost came and did his thing, then Peter stood up and preached the word of God. He started in the book of Joel, and he began to preach the word of God. And so when you're preaching the word of God, the focal point or the end result of preaching the word of God is souls being saved. And we know that when the Holy Ghost comes, so they were in one place, in one accord, in prayer, in supplication, the Holy Ghost came, did the work of the ministry, did the work of the Spirit, and then he had this. Then Peter stood up, preached the word of God, and he gave an invitation because the people asked, what shall we do? And that's Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, everyone, and you should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord added to the church 3,000 souls that day. So you see the progression, one accord, one Bible, in prayer, talking about prayer all through this class. Every day I talk about prayer, in supplication. This becomes like a supplication. Your visions become like a supplication. All this becomes like a petition before the Lord. That's also in Philippians chapter 4. You'll see that supplication, which becomes a request, a petition that's laid before the Lord. It's a little different. It's a type of prayer, but in one accord, in prayer, in supplication. Then the Holy Ghost comes and teaches you the word of God. Now, the Spirit of God is always with you, but you want to have more of the Word of God. You want to have your eyes more open, your ears more open, your heart more open to the Word of God. Just because you have your eyes open once doesn't mean they're open for all the way. We see through a glass darkly. Then Paul saw more. Then Paul saw more. Paul saw more. We all see more and more and more and more and more. Okay? And so lost souls should be a part of your vision. And then in that, so did I miss something there? I thought I missed something. Anyways, lost souls, because that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. And that progression is all the way through the New Testament. You'll see that all the way through, all the way through. So if you're not praying for lost souls, and I wrote this up here in these verses here, Acts, ask for Jeremiah 6:16. Also, that talks about why you should ask or ask for. Also, for the heathen, heathen are those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or they don't have Christ. In Galatians 3:8, Also, the key verse for this is Psalm 2:8. That's what this vision is built on. For thy inheritance, ask for the heathen for our inheritance. Psalm 2:8. So that's what I do every day. I ask for souls. I ask for souls every day, all year long. I'm asking for souls. Amen, right? It's in Joshua 14:9. Also in Psalm 79:1. A lot of verses will pertain to this. So we're talking about lost souls. Also in this is touching people. You want to not just win the lost. You want to do what Jesus says when he says, you didn't do what I asked you to do. Well, didn't we preach the word of God? Yeah, but you didn't go to the widow. You didn't feed the hungry. You didn't clothe those who were naked. You didn't do any of those things that I asked you to do. You didn't give to the poor. And remember what the disciples said, when were you poor? When were you naked and unclothed? When were you hungry? When were you alone? When were you in prison? He says, when you have not done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Yeah. That's why your vision, your calling must be about winning the lost and taking care of people, feeding people, clothing people, visiting the home, the fatherless and the widows and, you know, people in hospital, you know, all that kind of stuff, all that type of ministry. And if you can't do it, you support people who do that. So you join with them. You're like behind the scenes. So we donate to ministries and people who do that because we're only a few people in our church. We can't do it all, but we sow into the other ministries who are doing that. That's how you do it. You send your finances. You send your, not just your prayers, your resources. Your resources. We send out resources, gospel tracts. We just sent out three more cases today. So we're praying for 30,000 of these tracts to be pushed out the door this year. We've already gone through our first 10,000, and we're in our first 3,000 of our second 10,000. So we've got 13,000 of our 30. So it's going out the door. So we're sending one out to North Carolina. We're sending one up to Ohio, and we're sending one out to Southern California today. Today. I've been wanting to send those out for like 3 weeks, but I have been in pain. But I had a brother come over and pick them up and take them to the post office for me. So God bless our brothers in Christ. Amen. So that's the value of sending this out. So then we come to, what time is it? 49. So Philippians 4, there's just a couple. Since I don't have a lot of time to go through all these scriptures, because we've been going through a lot of scriptures. And if you don't recognize all the Bible verses that I've been saying, you really need to study the Word of God more completely. And there's several different ways of getting the Word of God in you. One of the fastest ways and the most, probably the easiest way, is to download an app. Or like I have two apps on my phone here. One is the Alexander Scorby app. And for example, let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, for example. Oh, let's go to 4. Yeah, there we go. Let's go to 4. Let's go to Philippians 4, 1.
Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also through your...
So that's Alexander Scorby. I've listened to Alexander Scorby hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I'm guessing it's in the thousands. I don't know. But as a long-haul truck driver, that's what was on my deck in my truck. So I listened to Alexander Scorby read me the King James Bible. Also, we have another app that I'm also promoting. The app for the Alexander Scorby is having troubles, but we still have it. And that is this one here. For example, this is the Dwell app. And I've already listened to, let me see, what can I do here? I've already listened to Colossians. But let me just, this is the next one coming up is tomorrow, is Colossians 1. Let me just play that. Yeah, I'll just.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus.
So that's the dwell, DW. So that's the fastest and kind of the most saturated way to get the Word of God in you. As you're going about your day, as you're driving your car, you're commuting, you're just going to grocery shopping, you're taking a walk, be listening to the Word of God. And it's just wonderful because you can go through, like, for example, every single night since I hurt my leg, I crushed my leg on my skateboard wreck. Yeah, I don't know why. Kind of beat myself up. I've been listening to Revelation, all 22 chapters of Revelation, every single night, 7 nights a week. And after about 2 months, I asked the Holy Spirit, do you want me to listen to something else? No, just keep listening. And then another month went by or so. I asked the Holy Spirit, should I change to another one? I mean, this seems like 3 months I've been listening to Revelation. It says, no, just keep doing it until I tell you to stop. Oh, till you tell me to stop. Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Guess what? I have not stopped listening to Revelation every night, 7 nights a week as I go to sleep. And so that was since 2018, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. That's 6 years I've been listening to Revelation. 6 years, 7 nights a week. And people tell me, oh, I know all about Revelation. Really? I still don't get it. We taught all 22 chapters here in our street sermons. We went through every single verse in all 22 chapters in Revelation. I still don't get it. And people tell me, oh, I know all about it. People think they know something, and God's going to prove everybody wrong because no one is going to figure God out. God's not going to be second-guessed. So quit thinking that you know it all. Be like a little child. Come to the Lord. Suffer not the little children to come unto me. Go to the Lord as a little child. Don't go to the Lord as some know-it-all. I am mature. I've been in the ministry 50 years. I know it all. I've been saved 10 years. I know it all. You don't want to do that. You don't say, Lord, help. That's why I have ask. Always be asking. Always be asking. And in Philippians, I also want to highlight Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to do the scripture short on that this morning. And it's all about wisdom. And it also talks about Philippians 4:12. Philippians 4:12. That's going to be on our topic today. 4:12 says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I am instructed. When you read Proverbs chapter 1, you'll see that we need to be instructed. And to be instructed, just ask. The Lord's not going to instruct you if you don't ask. Because if you don't ask, you don't have a willing heart. If you do not have a willing heart, then God can't sow that good seed in your heart because you're not willing. And if you're not willing, that means you're not good ground. And the reason you're not willing is because you have the cares of the world a part of your life. Yeah. But if you're willing, you must be obedient also. Then you'll eat the good of the land. That's Isaiah, right? 119? I think it's 119, right? So I just got a moment here. I'm just going to highlight some verses. Verse 1, it talked about stand fast in the Lord. Verse 2, same mind in the Lord. Verse 3, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 6, requests. That's what all this was talked about. We talked about requests. Verse 7. Passeth all understanding. Quit thinking you understand it all, because what the Lord passes by, there's just look at this verse 7. Take a look at verse 7 and humble yourself. for the hand of God. Verse 10, opportunity. There's opportunity for you to win the lost, to preach the word of God. There is opportunity, but you must ask. Verse 13, strengthen. When you read the verses above and below verse 13, you'll see that it's God's strength within you. The Lord Jesus Christ will strengthen you. You don't strengthen yourself. The Lord strengthens you. He's the one that makes you whole and complete. And then he brings people around you. That's why it says you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, strength, everything that you are, because that makes you spiritually whole. Then you go and love people. And when you love people, that makes you physically whole, for example, right? Verse 17, your account, be very mindful of your account in heaven. That's where your reward, that's where the gold, the silver, and precious stones that will be tried by fire, that will go through that fire and will be laid as reward in heaven for you. Your account, be very mindful of that. Verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace. We talked about grace, filling in all the pieces, the parts that we're missing until we grow through that grace and we mature, right? The grace. We need grace in our life because grace took over where law was. Law was around us, the law of God, you know, Old Testament law, the laws of Moses was around us. The law moved away when Christ finished it and put grace in its place. And through grace, we're saved, right? We're saved by faith. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that by your grace, we can have wisdom. And by your grace, we can gain understanding. And by your grace, we can have knowledge, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of our calling and our vision of our ministry. The knowledge of how to walk in the Word of God, the knowledge of how to walk by faith, the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom to love you with everything that we are. We love you, Jesus, and we dedicate and commit this class and everything that we've learned. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. I just wrap everything up as a gift, as an offering, as a sacrifice to you, Father, and I say thank you. And I leave here empty. I take nothing with me. I take no praise, no glory. You just get it all, because after this class, I'm thanking you for a fresh filling of your spirit of joy, of joy, of joy, of joy, and the peace of God that passes my understanding. I thank you, Lord. And everybody who's listening right now who needs healing, Lord, I pray healing, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who has a devil, I cast that devil out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke you. Get away. Get out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, get out. If you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to baptize everyone who desires to be baptized, to be full of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, to fill them with your spirit. Give them that wonderful joy of the Lord to magnify you and magnify the wonderful works of God through their spirit, that wonderful language. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Wow, these classes go pretty fast. Sorry, I can't answer all the questions and everything, but I'm hoping people answer each other's comments there. Let me do this. This is the kind of music I listen to in the truck. It was smooth jazz. It was instrumental. It had no words to it. And that's what kept me calm in the truck as I listened to the Word of God. So that's just me. God bless you, man. I love you very much. Hope I see you tomorrow morning. I love you. Bye-bye.